League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Today's guest is a true legend in the world of sports broadcasting. For over 50 years, his unmistakable voice has guided us through some of the most unforgettable moments in sports history, from Jack Nicklaus's charge in 86 to Tiger's chip in 2005. His calls at the Masters have become as iconic as the shots themselves. He's been the soundtrack to College Football Saturdays, SEC showdowns, the Masters on CBS, the Winter Olympics, the NBA, and even the fictional fairways of Happy Gilmore. And yes, he recently returned for Happy Gilmore too, sharing the booth with none other than Post Malone. It is a true honor to welcome to the show Vern Lundquist. Vern, thanks for taking the time to catch up. Fellow Texas Golf Hall of Famer Charlie Epps is here with us as well.
Well, hi, Will and Charlie. It's great to share the microphone with you guys.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, Charlie.
The only question I have of all the years that you covered so many sporting events, what kind of man was Bobby Jones?
Well, I wish I'd gotten to meet him, but I the greatest amateur golfer I think ever. Don't you?
Yes.
And had he not been stricken with illness, heaven knows how high he would have climbed. He climbed very high as it is, but I came along after he had passed away, and I wish I'd gotten to know him though.
Vern, take us back to the beginning. What first drew you to the broadcast booth, and when did you know that it was your calling?
Well, it's really a very, very long story, Will, that would take us 2 hours. But suffice it to say that I did public address announcing and wrote a newspaper, a sports column, in both high school and college. I graduated from Texas Lutheran University in Seguin in 1962. And I actually spent 1 year in theological school. My dad is a Lutheran minister, and he had been ordained into a Lutheran church from Augustana Seminary in Rock Island, Illinois. I spent 1 year there and realized early on that I didn't have a commitment for it. But I had done all this PA work and wrote the column, and I was not a good athlete. So I knew that early on, but I loved competition, and I loved talking and writing about it. So to cut to the chase, while I was in Rock Island, I had a job at nighttime as a disc jockey at WOC Radio. Knowing I was not going to return, I called KTBC in Austin, and a fellow named, a legend in my mind, named Cactus Fire, put me on the air the summer of 1963, initially as an FM replacement, summer replacement announcer. But then the sports job opened up. A fellow who's long passed away named Dan Love was the sports director. He took a job at KPRC in Houston, and that job opened up, sports job did. I asked Cactus for an audition. He gave it to me. Saw enough promise there. Put me on weekends for a while. I filled in with an AM disc jockey show. And then the fellow they had made, the Monday through Friday guy, he didn't like them, and they didn't care for him. And he moved on, and I took over as a full-time sports guy March 1st of 1964. And then I was in Austin for 3 years, San Antonio for a year, And then the biggest break I got in my whole career was getting a job on my third try at Channel 8 WFAA TV in Dallas.
That's right. And Vern, were you also calling games for the Cowboys at that time, or did that come later on?
No, that's where the break came in. Well, I took over. I got the job in September of 1967. And Tex Schramm took a liking to what we had, a powerful, powerful newscast, a news team. And Tex liked what I was doing on the air and called and offered me, initially, he offered me the pregame, postgame, and halftime show. And I did that for a couple of years. Bill Mercer had just passed away about 6 months ago at the age of 99. Bill was the play-by-play guy, and the legendary sports writer Blackie Sherrod was the color commentator. Well, Blackie decided he'd had enough, didn't like to travel, so he quit. I was promoted to the color commentary spot with Bill. And Bill then, he'd always aspired to become a Major League Baseball player. So when the Washington Senators moved to Texas, Bill took that job, and Tex promoted me to the play-by-play position. That was in 74, and I had that until 1983.
And while you were calling games, were you still, during the week, the lead anchor at WFAA?
Yes, I was. It was interesting because I was doing Monday through Friday, 6 and 10 at FAA, and then I got a break. I got a chance to I've got a call in here. I'll ignore that.
If you need to answer it, Vern, take your time.
No, I don't. I can call later. I can call him back. Anyway. When Bill took over the job, Tex asked me to do it. So my first ever play-by-play job opportunity was the Cowboys, the reigning Super Bowl champions, against the College All-Stars, and so that's how I broke in.
Unbelievable, Vern. Now you've always let the moment breathe. You've never stepped on it ever. Was that instinct, or was that something learned over time from mentors like Frank Turkanian or Pat Summerall or some of those legends?
Well, I think Pat Summerall was the greatest counterpuncher we've ever had in broadcasting. He was brief, succinct, and there would never have been John Madden as we remember John Madden had there not been for a Pat Summerall. The producer and director, Bob Stenner and Sandy Grossman, working with Pat and John, would let John roll around the stadium and the field, find minutia, make something out of it. But at just the right moment, Pat would say, and it's third and two. And he'd get John back. But I learned a lot from him, brevity, and simplicity, I think. Be succinct. And I had two mentors there, a legendary broadcast who did the Green Bay Packers race guide when the Packers were in their prime in the 60s. Here's a typical Ray Scott touchdown call. Star, Dowler, touchdown. I apologize, guys.
No. Do whatever you need to do.
It's a Memphis assignment that I've got in August, so I don't need to take care of it right now. I apologize. But where were we? With Ray Scott and Frank Gleaver. Sadly, people don't remember Frank. Frank was a CBS announcer. He did Augusta for years and years and years. Ironically, Frank was at the 17th hole, and when he passed away, we lost him at the age of 51. He died of a heart attack while jogging at Dr. Cooper's aerobic center in Dallas. And I was a part of the CBS golf team by then. And when Frank passed, Frank Chikinian moved me to 17. That's how I wound up at 17 in 86.
Wow.
Frank died in 85. I got bumped up to 17 in 86. So Ray Scott, Frank Gleaver, and Pat Summerall, you couldn't have three better mentors in a career than I have with those three.
And talking CBS golf, you've called 40 Masters tournaments with your final call coming in 2024. And I thought it was so fitting that that fellow Texan Scottie Scheffler was the one to slip on the jacket. I'm curious what your reaction was to Rory McIlroy completing the Grand Slam at Augusta this year. After, you know, you in your perch had watched him fall short for a number of years.
Yeah, I sure did. And then speaking of laying out and letting the broadcast breathe, Jim Nantz and Trevor Immelman, in my view, did the greatest job of shutting up, essentially, when Rory won. I think they put a stopwatch on it. I think Jim and Trevor did not say one word for more than 6 minutes. And they let Steve Milton, our fantastic director, just create a symphony, a visual symphony. And Jim and Trevor laid out. They did the same thing. Jim and Nick Faldo did the same thing when Tiger won in 2019. And there's a glory in just laying out and letting it breathe. And I have Ray Scott, Frank, and Pat to thank for that.
Well, Vern, I'm a big Nicklaus fan for many different reasons. And that Sunday in 86, that his game, you know, really wasn't quite there when he started on the first tee, but he kept gaining momentum and kept, you know, and you're on 17 and you're hearing all this. How is it to sit there and see the develop and it's coming right to your lap and you got to call one of the great putts of Jack Nicklaus's career?
Well, Charlie, there's a great backstory to that whole thing. Frank Chikinian was the producer and director, and Lance Barrow, who succeeded Frank ultimately, was the associate producer. And Lance is a man of large girth. His nickname among all of us was Buddha. So Jack starts out that Sunday four back of Seve Ballesteros, right? And
yes, sir.
He has a really mundane first 8 holes, but he birdies 9. So Lance, as the AD, said to Frank over the headset, Frank, we've got Jack Nicklaus with a birdie at the 9th. And Frank turned around and stared at Lance and said, Buddha, listen to me. We're storytellers, and Jack Nicklaus is not part of this story. Now leave me alone. So he turned around. Now Jack birdies 10. Lance Buddha said, Frank, we've got Jack with a birdie at the 10th. Frank just stood up, turned around, and stared at him. And then he birdies 11. And Lance said, Frank, we've got Jack with 3 birdies in a row. And Frank said, with an air of resignation, okay, let's replay them all. So we replayed 9, 10, and 11, and I promise you, Jack did not take a step on the second 9 from that point on that wasn't documented on CBS. And there's so many vivid recollections of the whole thing. Remember at 16, Jim Nantz was there as a 26-year-old first-timer. And Jack hit a 5-iron, does something about the clubs of those days, and he didn't even, and Jackie the second was on the bag, and Jack the second said, be good, and without ever looking up, Jack said, it is, and the ball, he almost aced it, And Jim had a great line. He said, "The bear has come out of hibernation." So
that was a classic line, wasn't it?
Wasn't it great? I mean, honest to God. And then when Jack was on 17, Ballesteros was now training by two, and he put in the pond at 15 and double bogey. So on the tee at 17, Jack was tied for the lead at the age of 46 and not having won in 2 years. And when he hit his tee shot, he hit it long and left over near the seventh green. He had a pitching wedge to the hole, and he had it left at 12 feet, a slight double breaker. And matter of fact, I don't collect a lot of autographed pictures, but I'm sitting in my office right now, and I'm looking to my right, and I've got a photograph of Jack Nicklaus, on which he says, "To Vern, yes, sir," exclamation point, with a smiley face. So, and I do remember this. When he was standing over the putt, I thought to myself, just keep it simple and get out of the way. And fortunately, that worked.
It worked very well. And my last question to you, and equipment has really kind of dominated the last 10 years of our sport. But that putter that Jack brought out that day, did you happen to have any comment on that during the round at all?
Well, I was a McGregor, wasn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, response. Big, ugly thing.
Oh, was it ever big and ugly? No. And I'm looking at this photo now. I'm looking at his plaid pants. They didn't go very well to compliment the scene either. But, you know, when I was at Augusta in 84, my last event, I had three missions at that one. I wanted to see Jack and Barbara and thank him for what he'd meant to my career. I wanted to thank Tiger Woods for what he had meant to my professional career. And I wanted to introduce myself to Scottie Scheffler. So Nancy and my wife and I were sitting on the lawn having lunch, and we saw Jack and Barbara walk by over by the outside of the trophy room. And I walked over, and Jack and I know him pretty well, and certainly much better than I know Tiger. Jack stopped, and Nancy and I said hi to him, and I said, "Thank you." He said, "Somebody record this on the cell phone." And he said, "On the count of three." And I've got a 5-second video of Jack, Barbara, Nancy, and me going, "Yes, sir," with our fist pumping the air.
Well, that's great memories.
That
for
is
you.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. Vern, I have a couple more questions for you just about, you know, you're once again a star in Hollywood. Your cameos in both Happy Gilmore has really helped legitimize the movie's feel of the game. I want to start with the original Happy Gilmore. How did that cameo come about back in 1996? And did you have any idea the film would become a cult classic?
No idea whatsoever. My agent, Frank, when I went to CBS to start doing golf, Frank said I was represented by IMG, the Mark McCormick firm that also had Jack and Gary and Arnold. And when I went to CBS, Frank Chikinian said, "All of our guys in golf are represented by Bob Rosen. You're going to switch." So I switched to Bob Rosen. And this was 83. So I had Bob passed away last year, but I had him throughout my career. And so in 96, he called me and he said, there's a movie being shot in Vancouver, the title of which is Happy Gilmore. I've recommended you for a spot. And so I flew to Vancouver. We shot all the scenes in which I was involved in one day. And here's a side story to the whole thing. The fellow who was sitting next to me was Adam Sandler. His name is Jack Giaraputo, full name. And he was Adam Sandler's suite mate at New York University Film School at the time. And the director, Dennis Dugan, who appears as the commissioner of regular golf in the sequel, Dennis said, let's have a little inside fun. Jack, go to wardrobe, get a sport coat, a shirt and tie. I want you to sit next to Vern in every scene, but you cannot say a word because you're not a member of the Screen Actors Guild. So Jack had to sit there. He's the one to whom I held my hand over my mouth and said, who the hell is Happy Gilmore? And now Jack is executive producer of all of Adam Sandler's movies.
Wow.
So we shot the sequel. My scenes were all shot again in one day in a little town about an hour down south of Jersey City, New Jersey. And I tell you what, I'm not up to on current music trends. The last part, of course, is a mini send up of Live Golf, the Maxi League. And that's where we changed into these wild, wild outfits. And they said, okay, you're going to sit down with Jack Jarputo, Adam Sandler's producer, and you're also going to have this former rapper, now country star, named Post Malone. Well, hell, I had no idea. I didn't know who he was. And so I've got another...
New Dallas guys, Vern.
Yeah, he sure is. He's grapevine, right? And just the nicest guy in the world, as is Adam Sandler, by the way. Just Sandler is so gracious and so humble and so unassuming. And when the movie came out, my wife and I were invited to the world premiere a week ago Monday night at Lincoln Center, but I co-host a charity golf tournament here, so we were unable to go. So when the film premiered on Netflix on Friday night, we're very involved in our Strings Summer Music Festival here in Steamboat Springs. We invited, there are about 250 people that came into our Strings Pavilion, and we watched this thing on Netflix on a huge movie screen. And I was able to get there early, and I snuck backstage with that wild sport coat. So when the movie ended, I came on stage. We did a Q&A with a Denver news anchor, and I walked out with that crazy sport coat on, and the place went up for grabs. But I've seen it now. You know, Nancy and I actually watched it again because we wanted to see it without all the commotion and the hubbub. It's a very funny movie. Very funny.
I loved it, Vern. I'm a big fan of The Sandman and everything Adam Sandler does. Was it part of the plan, you know, to have that pro golf tour versus the maxi tour? Was that to parallel somewhat what's happening in the world of golf at the moment?
Yes. And I thought it was an off-the-wall send-up of Live Golf. I've read some reviews of the movie now, and they thought it was a kind of a gentler push toward combining the two leagues. In retrospect, that might be a better take than mine. I do know there was a certain irony in having members of the regular tour be Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. Yeah. I thought, well, how weird is that? Because here they are with Live Golf. But I may have been too harsh on my interpretation of what Adam Sandler meant. Because subsequently, I've seen suggestions that he was urging an ultimate unification of the two leagues.
Well, as you know, sequels are tough, and I thought the crew adding that kind of current event aspect, plus the fact that whoever played Sandler's caddy back in 96 looked exactly like the grown-up version of Will Zalatoris. I thought there was just some really creative aspects to the film that really got it up to date here in 2025.
Oh, gosh, yes. And here's a side story for you. Scottie Scheffler won the Open, right, at Royal Portrush. He flew back to New York, and on the Monday night premiere, he walked into the premiere carrying the claret jug.
Just incredible, Vern.
Yeah.
Really good
Yes.
stuff. Charlie, do you have anything to add there before we send Vern off?
Well, Vern, I just admired your work all golf. You always were class person and never really got out of whack and you're such a professional. Thank you very much for your many years of work, and I hope you enjoy your retirement.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm honored that you would say something like that. And thank you, Will. I enjoyed the conversation.
Vern, thank you so much for sharing these stories and insights with us. It's been a true privilege to hear them directly from you, and we're wishing you all the best, and thank you for leaving a legacy that will inspire broadcasters and fans for generations to come.
Thank you guys so much. Have a nice
Bye-bye.
rest of the
Have a
day.
good evening, Vern.
Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection with Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide during their anniversary sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at omahasteaks.com today. They're America's original butcher, and only Omaha Steaks delivers a full lineup of extra-age steaks so tender, they're USDA certified tender. Their customer favorite filet mignon has even been elevated to USDA certified very tender. And that attention to quality doesn't just stop with steaks. We're talking beefy burgers, air-chilled chicken, premium pork, and so much more. And every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the anniversary sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.